In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 25 and going down through verse 33, we find a section on how husbands are to treat their wives, and especially, he talks about the attitude that husbands are to have toward their wives, because that's where it all starts. It all begins in the heart, and that's why he talks to us about husbands loving their wives. Let's look at these words, beginning in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Paul said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it." Now, it would have been one thing if Paul had simply said, "Husbands, love your wives." But he didn't stop there. He tells us exactly how husbands are to love their wives. Husbands are to love their wives in a particular way. You see, there are many men today who will say that they love their wives, but do they? And do they love their wives in the way that the Bible says? Here we find that Paul tells us that husbands are to love their wives in a particular manner. And that is, husbands are to love their wives in the same way that Jesus loved the church. Well, how did Jesus love the church? Paul tells us that Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. Jesus loved the church, how much? Enough to die for it. He gave himself for it. And so he says husbands are to love their wives in the same way. And that means if Jesus loved the church enough to die for it, then husbands are to love their wives enough to die for them. And so today when people say, "Well, yes, this man loves his wife," or when a husband says, "Yes, I love my wife," are they talking about the way that Paul describes here? Would they give their life for their wives? And if they love them that much, they will do anything else for their own good and for their welfare. Now let's go on to verse 26. We are going to come back to what he talks about in verse 25. We are going to see that Paul elaborates even more on how husbands are to love their wives, but we want to notice what Paul says in verse 26 before we move on. Paul said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, of course, that carries over from verse 25. In verse 25, Paul said that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that is, in order that he might sanctify and cleanse it. What is the "it" in verse 26? Well, that's the church. Jesus died on the cross so that he would sanctify the church, that is, set the church apart. And the church is the saints. The church is composed of people who have been set apart from the world. That means they have been sanctified, and it means that they have been cleansed. People in the church have been saved or cleansed from their sins. Now then, Jesus died then so that people would be saved or cleansed from their sins and added to his church. Now, Paul tells us when that takes place and how that takes place. He said that this sanctifying and cleansing from sin is done with the washing of water by the word. The washing of water here literally means the bath of water. It comes from a word which means the bath of water. And that refers to water baptism. You find that expression one other time in the New Testament. It's in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, where Paul said that he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The word "washing" there is from the same word that you find here in Ephesians 5, verse 26. So Titus chapter 3, verse 5, which talks about the washing of regeneration, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, the washing of water by the word, is water baptism. And this is why Paul was told in Acts 22, verse 16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. In John chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So Paul tells us in verse 26 that Jesus died so that he could sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the Word. In other words, the Word of God. Because the Word of God tells us to be baptized, and it tells us how to be baptized and why we are to be baptized. So this is very similar to what we see in the Great Commission of Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And on Pentecost Day of Acts chapter 2, when the people were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, about 3,000 people were baptized that day. And the Bible says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 2, verse 47. Now then, let's look at what Paul says in verse 27 of Ephesians 5, because he continues this illustration or this analogy. And that's what we're looking at here. This is a very common illustration in the Bible. And that is, in the Old Testament, God is represented as being married to his people, Israel. Israel is the people of God, and they are, in a spiritual sense, married to God, and they are to be faithful to him and serve him and be loyal to him. And in the New Testament, the Bible shows that the church is the bride of Christ. The church is married to Christ in a spiritual sense. And so the Bible continues this illustration in Ephesians 5, verse 27, that he might present it, that is the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So Jesus died for his bride, the church. And he did this so that the church should be holy and without blemish. Just as a bride is beautifully adorned, so the church should be beautifully adorned spiritually. That means the members ought to live an upright life, they ought to live a holy life before him. Just as a husband expects his wife to be adorned in that way, Jesus expects the church to be without any kind of spiritual spot or spiritual wrinkle or any such thing. We are to be holy and without blemish before him. Now then, we go back to this illustration being applied to marriage. In verse 28, Paul said, so ought men, that is, in this way, in this manner, ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. Now then, we have a second aspect of how husbands are to love their wives. First of all, back in verse 25, husbands are to love their wives just like Christ loved the church. Now then, he expands on that even more because he says that men ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. Verse 29 says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. In verse 29, Paul said that a man loves his own body. He's going to feed himself. He's going to make sure that he is taken care of. Men sometimes are selfish in that way. They make sure that they're taken care of, but they don't care about people that they ought to love. Paul said that a man ought to love his wife just like he loves himself. And if he is concerned about his own body and his own pleasure and his own well-being, he ought to, in the same way, be concerned about his wife. And if he loves his wife enough to die for her, then that will not be a problem, ever. Look at verse 28 again. Men ought to love their wives just like they love their own bodies, and he that loves his wife loves himself. So let's think about a few things here then that will be the result of a man loving his wife just like Jesus loves the church and just like a man loves his own body. A man who loves his wife like Jesus loved the church, and a man who loves his wife like he loves his own body, will work to provide for her. He won't neglect her, and he won't neglect the family. The Bible says that a man who neglects his family and refuses to provide for his own has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Secondly, a man who loves his wife like Jesus loved the church will respect her. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, that husbands are to dwell with their wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Peter says that husbands are to honor their wives. That is, they are to respect their wives. Number three, a husband who loves his wife like Jesus loves the church, and a husband who loves his wife like he loves himself, will speak good words to her, and he will speak good words about her. The Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 18, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. That is, don't be hateful. Don't be sour. Don't be short and quick with your wives. And husbands can have a tendency to do that. So the Bible says you love your wife and don't be hateful. Don't be bitter against her. A husband who loves his wife enough to die for her is going to speak good words to her, and he's going to speak good words about her. He's not going to call her stupid. He's not going to call her names of any kind in an insulting way. And a husband who loves his wife like he loves himself is not going to cuss his wife. Those things are out of the question. Number four, a man who loves his wife like Jesus loved the church will demand that the children respect her. He won't badmouth her to the children. He won't go behind her back and put her down to the children. And that's going to come back on him if he does that anyway. Now, many of these things apply, of course, to the wife. A wife should respect her husband. A wife should speak good words to her husband and about her husband. A wife should also demand that the children respect the father, her husband, as well as her. But we're looking now at the way that the husband is to treat his wife. Number five. A man who loves his wife like Jesus loved the church will not drink and worry his wife sick. Number six, a man who loves his wife like he loves the church and a man who loves his wife like he loves himself will not run around with other women. Number seven, a man who loves his wife like he loves his own body. And again, that's what Paul said in verse 28. Men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. And a man who loves his wife like he loves his own body will not beat her. He will not physically abuse her because he doesn't want somebody doing that to him, and he will fight so that nobody does that to him. And if he loves his wife like he loves himself, he certainly will not treat her in that way. Now, these are some things that are involved, and there's much more in loving your wife like you love yourself. The Bible tells us in verse 31, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." And in verse 32, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." The expression "great mystery" means a profound analogy or illustration. The nature of the relationship between husband and wife is a deep matter. It touches the very core of our being, unlike any other earthly relationship. And in verse 33, Paul ends by saying, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband."